The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
The dimwit in diapers is in Chirac. Wow. There's going to be at least two safe blocks as the Secret Service walls off the ghetto that used to be the once great city of Chicago. It's astonishing to me how all of a sudden he's going for fundraisers and people are kicking up to this two-bit con artist who stole the election in 2020, who's been nothing but a political whore his entire career, $30 million through his crack-smoking, degenerate scumbag son, dimwit brothers, and dog-faced sisters, right in the checking account, and the Democrats don't care. They just want in on it. And you know, you're starting to understand why. It turns out he spreads it around, like all the Democrats short-in-the-pants mafia.
Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us.
This is crucially important. He sued him because he doesn't have the power to eliminate debt from his constituents like a Chicago two-bit short-in-the-pants mayor gives his dimwit friends from Bridgeport jobs and mystical magical pensions. He doesn't have that power. But the feeble fascist would not be denied by the Supreme Court the rule of law or the limitations on his office.
And the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us. No, I mean it sincerely. We continue to find alternatives passed to reduce student debt payments.
Yay! Clap! All the roaches of welfare. These are college-educated welfare roaches. You've got the Wall Street Brooks Brother roaches. You got the Chicago, how you doing? Those half-assed drunk pansies who think they're mobsters with construction companies. All wet in their beak under this dimwit in diapers. And that's why they have to steal the next election the way they stole the next election. So he's here in Chirac for campaign contributions, and he'll get the usual from the usual dimwits, but that's not how he keeps the game going. You see, he doesn't have the problems Donald Trump has, where if your name is attached to him, you face the wrath of the Leviathan, the IRS, the Gestapo, forever bothering Italians, those incompetent enablers of the short-in-the-pants mafia called the Federal Bureau of Investigation, I guess. In the meantime, why don't you investigate some of this, stupids?
You remember our stories from earlier this year about Act Blue's fundraising practices. We found a handful of donors who gave small amounts to Act Blue, but when Act Blue reported the donations to the Federal Elections Commission, something didn't add up. We wanted some answers. We spoke to Nancy Duden, the retiree from Maryland, who said she only donated a couple of $100 to Act Blue since January. How much does Act Blue claim she has donated this year? More than $16,000. Nancy wasn't the only seemingly unaware retiree being used to mask these donations. Garland Riggs, an older gentleman who lives outside of Washington, D.C., says there's no way he has given Act Blue $230,000 in the past.
Criminals! Democrat criminals! Using names to launder foreign money in American governments. This is why none of these political whores ever want to tax their coffers or the way that they're bribed legally. And as far as campaign contributions, well, some guys have to do it honestly, and other guys, they get to work the mafia ranks. And all you have to do is really be an insider, but more importantly, a Democrat scum.
Last 4 years. Carolyn Lenz from Tucson, who apparently given Act Blue $170,000 in the past several years. But luckily, we were able to make contact with some Act Blue staffers while on the inside. One staffer told me to talk to her communications director.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing? You with Act Blue?
Yes.
Hi, I'm James.
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Kathleen.
James O'Keefe. Okay. Do you know who I am? We did a story in March about Act Blue, and they were giving thousands of contributions to different people and different names.
Yeah, sorry, I can't.
How do you explain that to people?
I can't speak to that.
How do you explain that to people who...
I can explain it. You're thieving rats who've pretended to legalize even though it's illegal. Political bribery and money laundering schemes. And it works. After all, you got how many half-ass wannabe gangsters that pretend they have companies that only get jobs through government funding? And that's what this game is about. And it has to continue. So then you'll have the other guys who say, no, we got to fight it. We're going to fight it. We're going to give the other guy money. And then he's ridiculed by the short-in-the-pants mafia who launders money and creates policies as we are in the midst of not just American dark ages, but the controlled demolition of American principles.
Folks, you know, Trump is down in Florida today raising money from a bunch of hedge fund billionaires who want him to cut Social Security and Medicare and their taxes.
Yeah, we should rip it all out because those welfare roaches of all kinds, from Wall Street to Main Street, they'll step and they'll fetch and they'll vote for who is clearly a crook. Clearly a dimwit, clearly somebody who brags about circumventing the rule of law as he acts like a feeble fascist dictator who soiled his trousers. I wonder how many times he's going to get his diaper changed tonight in Chicago.
So I figure there's no better day than today to tell you that in the first quarter of this year, we raised $185 million.
Who exactly are the morons that are giving the money, you would say, right? And then you realize it's simple. Everybody who wants to remain in business, as one of the most obvious acts of fascism that this country's ever experienced, that I've ever heard of, as a state that has gone bankrupt and squandered all of the money in the coffers and created a massive debt, almost like the country writ large, called California, mandates that businesses pay people $20 an hour without any understanding or any success. And you realize, until we understand what we're up against, the idea of the backdoor destruction of American principles, ingenuity, and property rights, you're just going to be playing merry-go-round with the scum. And I've got bad news for you. They stole the last election, and there is nothing to tell you they can't steal the next one.
Racine County had problems in early election night vote totals. They call it discrepancies and inaccuracies.
Tonight, our Jason Calvey questions the county clerk.
Or as it's more commonly known, Democrat win!
About what went wrong and what's being done to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Wendy Christensen has seen a lot of elections in her 15 years as Racine County clerk, but nothing like this.
Unusual totals. That did not look right when you had a...
That's good news for the feeble fascist, the guy with the soiled socks and trousers.
Uncontested candidate with a lot of write-ins.
Sure enough, some of those numbers transmitted from polling places to the county were wrong.
We always have the actual ballots that are in paper. You can always go back to the physical ballots and do a hand count of something.
When you cast your vote, the tabulators that count them also store your paper ballot. At the end of the night, the machines print out the results, also on paper. Finally, the results are sent electronically to the county.
We are obviously going to do a full investigation because we want to know what happened so that it could never happen again.
If you wanted to know exactly what caused this problem, you're going to have to wait. The county clerk here in Racine tells me that they're still investigating and working with the vendors of the technology to figure out.
Here we go. The county clerk, the secretary of state. What are they? They're all freaking Democrats. They control the schemes, the court system, which is why they're able to bring these ridiculous, ridiculous lawsuits, these ridiculous fake crimes against Donald Trump or anybody that they choose. They are in control of the government itself.
We're just now a week away from the start of jury selection in Donald Trump's hush money trial. Joining me now is former federal prosecutor Paul Butler.
Hush money trial. This is the one with the stripper porn star whore, right? And Abinanti, who I believe went sent to jail because he stole money from the whore and the other Democrat morons that gave him money. And we're still going to pretend that this is somehow a crime.
And MSNBC legal correspondent Lisa Rubin. And Lisa, first to you, because we understand there was another filing today from Donald Trump, a last minute motion just today. Sounds to me like this could be however you want to interpret it, more delay, perhaps. But I think it's a change of venue from Manhattan. Is that correct?
There are two things, Andrea, going.
By the way, that's Alan Greenspan's wife. Let me say it again. Alan Greenspan's wife, Andrea Mitchell. She shores up the propaganda network between corrupt government and the media, making sure that the morons don't understand what's really going on. We could talk about trials, but you're from Chicago. You know how it's going to go. When's Mike Madigan's trial? Ah, he's busy. In the meantime, what's really happening?
You're still confident we can get to 2% this year? We've seen a little bit of a flare-up so far this year.
Well, I think it will continue to come down over time. That's my expectation.
No, that's not Ray Dalio. That's Manhands, Janet Yellen, a woman who is barred from all lumber yards from sea to shining sea because she softens the wood.
You know, I'm hopeful that we can certainly get into the twos.
The twos. Shut up! Like to see you get in a size 16 before we worried about the twos. In the meantime, Ray Dalio is out, somebody who knows a little something about money. And he's telling you, haven't really seen this since, the Great Depression.
In my years of doing this, so something like over a little over 50 years, what I found is that many times in my life, things that surprised me were because of, they never happened in my lifetime before, but they happened many times in history. So, for example, then studying these earlier times, if they happen mechanistically, I need to know how they work. So I studied the Great Depression. That's why we anticipated the 2008 financial crisis, because the same things happen over and over again, but sometimes not in our lifetimes. And so there were three big things. There are three big things that are happening to us that haven't happened in our lifetime. I like to measure things so I can see them in numbers and charts and so on. And those three big things are, first, the amount of debt and money creation. How much debt we have, the rate at which we are creating it. And
you will learn this is the intentional destruction of the quality of life in this country, because what these Democrat scum learned is once people are on the skids, they'll roll over and vote Democrat. Take a look at your once great city. 100 years of that short-in-the-pants mafia. Now it's ghetto-fied.
And then, where we're getting that money from, the Federal Reserve and other central banks printing it. So that has never happened to this degree, except for the 1930 to 45 period, which I studied before. And I needed to go back and study that in history. The second of those two things is the amount of internal conflict. Populism of the left and the right, irreconcilable differences, with the largest wealth gaps that have existed. So the greatest political gaps, the greatest amount of populism, largest wealth gaps since, you have to go back to the 1930 to 45 period, and actually it's larger than that, and you have to go back to 1900 to see that. By the way, if you want to see it, you'll see the charts in that. So we have a financial issue. We have a internal conflict issue that has very big implications for how well our country is run, but also what does it mean for taxes? What does it mean for the value of assets? I need to understand that. And the third was international conflict. So in my whole lifetime, the United States was clearly a dominant power, and we were in the American world order. 1945. The United States became the leading world power, counted for half world GDP. We had 80% of the world's money, because gold was money then, and we had a military monopoly. And so the reason that we were the world's power, that's why the United Nations is in New York and IMF and World Bank are in Washington, so dominant. But we could see this conflict, this emerging competition. And the last time that happened was the 1930 to 45 period, and I need to study that.
Now, you could listen to that economic scholar, whether you agree with him or not. He has amassed his own personal fortune, which is in somewhere around $20 billion, but it's more importantly what he's done with his hedge fund, which is miss all of the potholes of the last 50 years. Or you could turn to the other political expert who's going to comment on the economy, who before he was put in the position he's in now, his great expertise was getting Merlot out of cashmere sweaters that he ruined
I think it's important to recognize where people are at, too. The country's been through a lot. Families have been through a lot. And just because a number on a page looks good doesn't mean people can feel it. Anybody who's been in a relationship knows that if somebody's not feeling great, the first thing you say to them is not, you should be feeling
you
better
feel
than you are, right? Stop
yeah.
not feeling it. So,
yeah.
look, we've been through a lot as a country.
Yeah.
Having said that, we're also achieving a lot as a country. Mm-hmm. And while there is a very well-funded noise machine trying to poke holes in those achievements, trying to talk down the economy and all the things America has done, I think it reflects well on the president that the American people under his leadership and the American economy under his leadership have added so many jobs, including, importantly, in areas like manufacturing.
I think it's only if you were in one of the labor extortion mafias. Chicago's good for that. So all you half tough guys, you want to be hard tough guys, clap your hands, bow your head, all you union thugs, go ahead and kiss the ass, the wrinkled ass of this feeble fascist. After all, he's wetting your beak that you couldn't get a job without him. 312-642-5600.
This is the Sean Thompson Show, where Democrats are always wrong, Republicans are seldom right, and politicians are never, ever to be trusted. On AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
There's nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart.
I didn't, you know what I mean, Squirrel? I got tanned the whole day. I didn't see anything.
Investors are on high alert as U.S. money supply metrics signal a significant shift not seen since the Great Depression. With a 4.29% drop from March 2022 to February 2024, Nick Gurley of Reventure Consulting points out, warning, the money supply is officially contracting. This has only happened four previous times in the last 150 years. Each time, a depression with double-digit unemployment rates followed. The Federal Reserve's modern tools reduce the likelihood of a repeat depression.
Do you know what that is, Squirrel? Why? Welfare. Welfare, welfare. And once you get on welfare, you'll start chanting for anybody who gives you something. And that's the only difference. And that's why they never mention the record number of Americans living on welfare.
Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us.
You know what that means, right? You don't have any debt. Just vote for the mafia. You'll be fine, like Chicago. I mean, after all, it turned out splendid. Jim and Lyle.
Sean, on this 8th day of April, I'm prepared to tell you with conviction that this take is fake. Trump is going to win.
All right.
I know you don't entertain. I know you don't entertain these discussions.
Well, he won in 2020. Look at us. But go ahead, sell me.
Have you looked at the markets on the futures for the states like Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona?
You mean the polls?
No, not the polls. The futures index.
No, I haven't.
And the betting index on
oh, all right, no.
Of who's going to win each state.
Yeah.
He's not losing in any of them. And here's the thing. Right. People who don't even peripherally care about politics, they know that the country's at a crossroads.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but what about this?
I know
exactly what went wrong.
I don't want to go through the details of what that investigation now is going to entail because I don't want to speculate on what did or did not occur or how it happened until we know more information.
The clerk's by the way, if you didn't see the video, she's definitely a Democrat. You know how I could tell? Because dogs walk up to her and smell her face. That's how I know. And that's the magic sauce, brother. Huh?
What was that a video of?
Racine, Wisconsin, just now.
Okay, I've heard about the Racine County controversy. It's going to be too big to rig. I'm telling you, it's baked. Cake is baked.
Everybody's got a slogan, too big to rig. All right. I think that was mine back in the 90s. Thank you very much, Jim. I hope you're right. I really do. Richard in Southside.
Hey, Sean, how's it going, man?
Good, brother. How are you?
Sean, I got reborn the other night. I was up from 2 in the morning to 4:30 for your listeners. Everybody, go to YouTube and look up Navy SEAL Redemption. You got to hear this guy's life story.
All right.
The male listeners will get supercharged up on it, all that kind of stuff. But, hey.
Well, don't leave out the ladies. Don't leave out the ladies. You got to say, and the ladies will get titillated. You got to sell it, baby. Sell it.
Right, the ladies will get their men juiced up, and they will be on fire.
That's what I said. Titillated.
Now,
go ahead.
I took the day off work today. I had to do some doctor's appointments and stuff. First off, my doctor's appointment, Sean, I walked in, and I had to fill a form out. Up on top of the form, Sean, I had to fill in my legal sex. Not my sex, Sean, my legal sex.
Okay? Yeah. You got to walk around with an ink pad and roll your genitals in it and put it down on the paper. Let them guess for it. Go ahead.
So from there, well, you know what? I made a stop at Meijer in between, but then I had another doctor's appointment in another office, Sean, and they had a big pamphlet on all the desks. Stop the spread of measles.
Did he ask you if you have any weapons instead of the checkup before he gave you the Buddha gig? Did he ask you if you have any weapons?
No, they did it. Right. Hey, Sean, I did though a couple years ago at the same establishment, the doctor's office, commented at somebody in the month of June about how their nails looked, and they had security guards on me, okay?
Following me around.
So, yeah. Hey. Past that, though, last night on the news, I don't know if anybody caught, but the Chicago Cubs are putting in a safe room with some soft lighting, calming artwork, and music for the people that are getting a little too riled up.
That's awesome. Go to a Cubs game, I dare you, I believe, is the new slogan. Thank you very much, Richard. I appreciate it.
One more, John.
What do you got? All right.
Okay, hey, look, I went to, so we were at Meijer today, hit the lottery counter after that. And I went back. My mom used to work at Kmart. I went back to the old Kmart days when I was leaving Meijer today out in Tinley Park, about 50 people up front. Hey, attention, Meijer shoppers. Attention, Meijer shoppers. Vote out the criminals. Vote out the criminals. 50 people up front, Sean. One lady goes, "What?" And another old man, of course, with the mask on goes, "I didn't hear you." But, Sean, the other 40 people or so are raising their fists. And, you know, a couple guys were clapping.
So, wonderful. I appreciate it. Hopefully they can beat Queen of Heaven. Thank you very much, Richard. We'll be back.
Is there an apocalypse out right now? You know that thing where the moon gets in the way of the sun?
AM 560. The Answer.
So when you understand that the reason that the dimwit in diapers and the Democrats continue to move forward with the unconstitutional student debt loan, the kids are just the useful morons, the people who borrowed the money. They're just the pigeons. The real problem is the student loan debt is $1.724 trillion. The government made this possible. They took over the problem when it was $600 to $700 billion and added $1 trillion. The people cannot pay the loans because the economy, called Bidenomics, sucks. So they're not being magnanimous or altruistic. They need to clean up their books, because what they can't afford people to know, when you combine federal, state, and local spending, the governments in this country are spending $10.439 trillion. There isn't enough money. It is the intentional bankrupting of our country. And the reason is because these political whores, like the dimwit in diapers, some call president, I call him election thief Joe Robinette. My socks are wet, Biden. He was bribed by foreign entities to destroy the principles of our nation and bankrupt us.
Where are we right now in the cycle with respect to the United States? Are we at the peak? Are we coming down? How fast are we going down?
When I say these things, I use measures. There are 18 measures of health. And you can see them in the book. And they're measures of things like, what is your percentage of world GDP? What is your percentage of exports? How are your reserve currency? But also, what is your education level of education? What is your competitiveness? 18 measures of that. And we are in decline. We're declining on a relative basis, but even also some measures in an absolute basis. So that's what the arc is. And then China has been the leading competitor. I've been having, not since 1984, I've been going to China. Watch it. Since I started going there, per capita income has increased by 26 times. And so if you use measure.
Say that again. Per capita income among the Chinese communists has increased 26 times. Do you know what the difference is, Squirrel? They don't have any short-in-the-pants Democrat mafia members.
...of comparability in military technology, share of world GDP, all of that. You see that. That is the only real power. There are military powers, but history has shown if you're a military power and you're not an economic power, while you may be a threat, you're not going to win the war. So that's what the picture looks like.
So if you go back,
and we could see it, right? We can.
So the most important thing to happen this weekend wasn't a bunch of children bouncing a fracking ball. The most important thing to happen is that Manhattan, a saboteur to our currency and our nation, was in China making deals after the Crypt Keeper, the dimwit in diapers, the Chinese asset, once again, successfully steals another election.
The United States will pursue a healthy economic relationship with China. We will seek to cooperate with China on global challenges, and we will deploy our economic tools when needed and in a narrowly targeted manner to protect our national security and that of our allies, as well as human rights. President Biden and I...
You know what I like about this? She's talking to somebody who enslaves people and murders them, called the Chinese Communist Party. Uh-huh. Continue, Manhans!
I firmly reject the idea that the United States should decouple from China.
Oh, you're coupled, all right. It's the only couple you're going to get there, toots. Teresa, Brass Coast.
Brass Coast checking in, Sean. I just have to ask you, what do you think the mindset is with people that that think government is the answer to all their problems when all the government has ever done is lied? You know,
they're unable.
They control.
They're unable.
Yeah. I mean, what's it going to take for people to understand they're getting screwed? I mean, I don't understand.
Teresa,
the
you have to understand. Well, really? Because that's because you're lucky to be born in a nation where historically the people in this nation have a different mindset. They have the mindset of a free citizen.
You're right.
They understand the principles. But the rest of the world does not. There are hundreds of millions, if not more than a billion, Chinese communists who like being slaves. They feel as if they're represented. Like in Chicago, those buffoons who have gotten their entire family to vote for the short-in-the-pants mafia for 50 years because they needed that mystical, magical pension based in nothing other than clout. So that sells to people. Freedom isn't for everybody. Freedom is scary. You can go broke in freedom. Freedom is
failure.
These other people don't want failure. They don't want the risk of failure. So who supports it are the willing and useful slaves to government supremacy. We call them Democrats, but unfortunately, it's a tremendous amount of Republicans now. So why else do you think that they adopt this ridiculousness you see in our culture today? I listen to what the government has done since Joe Biden stole the office in the last 4 years. The governments, whether they're state or local or federal, that are run by people who are historic failures and have never succeeded in anything. We only have 535 federal politicians. They have destroyed our dollar, and they're still coming up with new ideas. Because the reason they need to steal this is because they have to massively increase taxes yet again. You see, the taxes expire next year.
A major tax change in 2017 dropped rates for U.S. businesses. That code is set to expire at the end of next year, but only for small businesses.
CBS's Skyler Henry shows us how a coalition of companies are pushing lawmakers to not only keep the rate reduction, but also rewrite the law.
For more than 110 years, craftsmanship has driven the work at Susquehanna Glass Company, tucked in a blue-collar neighborhood in south central Pennsylvania.
They wanted us to be doing monogramming, and we were hand-cutting the monogramming.
Walt Rowan owns the glass etching shop his great-uncle started, but he's worried what will happen to his company's bottom line if a key tax policy expires at the end of next year.
As a small business owner, I make decisions all the time about what do I spend in a given year on salaries, on equipment.
Rowan is co-chair.
See, but then you have to understand what a tax is in this country. You don't tax the sloth. You don't tax the welfare recipient. These student college graduates, these student loans, don't get taxed. So the reality is, the definition of greed in America today is the business or the man that wants to keep his own money and not the useless sloth that wants to have it taken away so he doesn't have to pay back his student loan. That's just called a Democrat. 312-642-5600.
They're stupid.
Call Sean now. 312-642-5600. AM 560. The answer.
So the government is accountable on nothing. Nothing. Together with state and local governments, they spend $10.4 trillion, and there is never an audit, not even in Dalton. They just hire the dimwit Lori Lightfoot. It's like an ugly contest down there. In the meantime, here's the definition of greed.
Of the National Coalition Small Business for America's Future, and is urging lawmakers to not let the law lapse and make changes. The 2017 provision cut taxes for larger companies, known as C corporations, from 35% to 21%.
But they still have to pay their employees' health insurance. They still have to pay a contribution to a Social Security, which is a Ponzi scheme. They still have to pay it. That's not greedy, though. And the guy wanting to keep the money so he doesn't have to pay more and more and more to realize he's the manager of the business, not the owner. He's the greedy guy. And you know what else isn't greedy? This isn't greedy.
We wanted to show you just how much asylum seekers are getting in some of our biggest blue cities, starting right here in New York. If you're a migrant, you're guaranteed housing, some of them being placed in hotel rooms that average $300 a night. Then a number of those migrants qualify to be part of the $53 million debit card pilot program. That means they are handed $1,000 on a debit card each and every month.
Now, how do they pay for all of that giveaway? For votes, registered names, and congressional seats. By taxing that American moron who thinks he's a businessman, who owns a small business, goes there every day, turns on the lights, mops the floor, cleans the toilet. He's the bad guy. But these low-life scum just vote Democrat. Boy, what happens when they start talking insurrection, Squirrel? Did you hear that guy in the, what do you call it, Michiganistan?
I love the America!
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth."
It's not. Do you know what's funny about a lot of these convenience stores in these ghettos, Squirrel? It's a funny little scam they got going on. They pretend to be a convenience store, and you go in there, and the shelves are empty. But what they do is, they somehow have a lot of business go in the door, out of the door, in the door, out of the door. You know why, Squirrel? Not always. But a lot of times there's some nefarious activities. Oh, it's true. In fact, a lot of those corner ghetto stores that are owned by these kind of guys who hate America on both sides of the fence, you know what they do? They pay 50 cents on a dollar for that debit card. Yeah, the one that they're giving to migrants and the one that they gave the American welfare roaches. Oh, they give them a little cash so they can go buy the crack. Hair on. Then they cash it in. It's called an arbitrage. Scumbags. Mark in Plainfield.
Good afternoon, Sean. It's happening on a student left that if you're so concerned about it, why don't they treat it like they treat prescription drugs and go at the colleges and they're clearly overcharging?
We got a bad call, Mark. Yeah, we got a bad call. It's probably, you know what? You need to denounce your citizenship. Go to the other side of the Rio Grande. Swim across. You get a new iPhone for free. Scott Willowbrook.
Sean, you know, you mentioned these funny little scams. You know, these maggots that are on welfare. They're going to be the ones knocking on your door asking for your ballots. But, you know, you also, no one talks about this, but you're also supporting these professors that get in everybody's heads and teach them all this garbage that makes them think that taking the tax dollars is a good thing from everybody.
Couldn't agree with you more. It's a system that feeds on waste, fraud, and abuse. It's called college,
oh, yeah.
Scott.
It's multi-layered. And they get the most out of every dollar that they get out of everybody's pockets. It's disgusting.
Yeah, but Scott, look at how it pays off. Look at the Chicago public school teachers next time they have a strike. I don't just mean that they're all a size 17 and above, but take a look at how intelligent they are and articulate. That's the problem. You pay morons so that they could pretend to be decent people. And before you know it, the guy who's greedy is the guy who has a business and just wants to keep his money.
Smaller companies that file as a pass-through business also saw a reduction, but from 39 to about 28%.
In the end, the taxing system in this country needs to be perceived by Americans as being fair.
Fair? Fair your ass! You know who thinks it's fair? People who never earned any money. The incapable, the unable, the whores to corrupt policies. You know, the Democrats. We'll be back.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
Aside from realizing the government does not have one policy that works the way it was sold to the American people, I don't know which one is the bigger grift. Is it health care? Is it senior care? Is it defense? How about that pesky CIA? What is their budget? Who cares? But the greatest golden goose of corruption, extortion, backdoor nationalization of your life has to be the golden goose called eco-Nazism, referred to as climate.
People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
This is the story of how an eccentric environmental scare grew into a powerful global industry.
It's a wonderful business opportunity, okay? You want climate, we'll give you climate.
There's a huge amount of money involved. This is a huge, big money scam.
And that's all it is. My next guest is a producer of that movie, which is titled Climate the Movie. He's also a podcaster who dives into this on a regular basis. He is Tom Nelson. Tom, thank you for joining me. How are you?
Great, Sean. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
It really is a fantastic scam. You have to remember, when I look at this, I'm a Chicago guy from a half-ass wise guy neighborhood. It's phenomenal when you think about it. You deliver nothing, you control everything, and the people who are recipients of the money kick you back a large portion in what's called campaign contributions. What's not to love, Tom?
Yeah, I say it is the most massive scientific fraud in human history. It's all scam. It's all pain for working people. It's no gain.
Well, but it's very successful. Because through this scam, they've managed to backdoor nationalize everything from Wall Street to Main Street. And now they're going to control the way you and I even travel to each other's house, aren't they?
That's the goal. Yeah, they want to control everything. They want to make us eat the bugs and not eat the meat and all this other stuff. Stay in our 15-minute cities. But none of it's going to, of course, none of it's going to provide any weather or climate benefit. It's just all a scam.
Now, Tom, even though I look fantastic, I'm in my 50s. And I'm old enough to remember when it was going to be the Ice Age. Do you remember this?
At least eight times in the past million years, it has advanced and retreated with clockwork regularity. If we are unprepared for the next advance, the result could be hunger and death on a scale unprecedented in all of history. What scientists are telling us now is that the threat of an Ice Age is not as remote as they once thought.
Now, Tom, that was Spock from, at the time, the number one rated sci-fi show on all the four channels called Leonard Nimoy. And he sold that nonsense so much so that every kid in my neighborhood had to run out and get moon boots and silver jackets.
Yeah, I mean, the Earth really did cool from the 40s to the 70s, and the people thought it was going to just keep cooling, but then it started warming again. Back and forth, cooling, warming, it keeps changing.
What's fascinating is we're hanging on to this rock that is millions, if not billions of years old, doing 1,000 miles an hour, and these so-called scientists really don't have a clue any more than they did when they were dressed in women's clothing. And I don't mean the way now where they want to be called misses, back then when it was stylish to wear a dress. However, why does this science still work, this fear, this nonsense?
Yeah, I think there's an enormous amount of groupthink out there. I think a lot of climate scientists actually believe that CO2 is the climate control knob and the weather is getting worse, all this crazy stuff. But they haven't actually checked anything out for themselves. That's what I keep saying. Ordinary people like us, we can check out all sorts of claims for ourselves. How are the polar bears doing? How are our crop yields doing? Fires, floods. We can look at all this stuff and we can find out there's nothing alarming going on at all. The whole idea that CO2 is making bad stuff happen is a total crock. Not true.
I think I'd feel better, Tom, if you told me that they knew it was a scam and they were perpetrating it, because even a third grader understands the fundamental principles of photosynthesis. And they also understand that CO2 is an infinitesimal on top of an infinitesimal part of the so-called greenhouse gases. And it's actually good for the planet, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. More CO2 is a good thing. If we don't want to go back to the little ice age. We don't want to go back to 280 parts per million CO2. Right now we're more like 420 or 425. That additional CO2, it's not the climate control knob, but it really is helping our crops grow better. So the whole idea of fighting carbon dioxide or fighting plant food is just completely crazy.
Fisker is one of my favorites, Tom, because they've been scamming that company or using it as a vestibule of corruption since Joe Biden could form a sentence and was the vice president. Yet it was $1 billion then. It's $2 billion now, delisted from the stock exchange, completely bankrupt. But so was Solyndra. So was, as I call her, the Duchess of Chaffington. Some call her Hillary Clinton. Nobody thinks it's Bill Clinton's wife. However, her brother was in on this scam, too, with Terry McAuliffe. And Terry McAuliffe's penalty was he became the governor. So do facts and reality and the result of these frauds totaling billions and billions, if not trillions, does it matter to the American people anymore?
I think it does to the people. I think there's a bunch of bureaucrats that have no idea what reality is. But I'm very encouraged that ordinary people are waking up to this. I've been looking at this online almost every day for like 17 years, and way more people are fighting back online than were even 5 years ago. Makes me happy. How many people have figured out that they're lying to us about other stuff like COVID and asking what else are they lying to us about? And the answer is just about everything. So a lot of new skeptics are coming into the debate, which I'm loving.
In every collapse, there's always an opportunity. And what I see the opportunity in is you could really take down a lot of government corrupt entities with this most obvious of all frauds, the climate agenda. And I say that because to me, it is beyond the shadow of a doubt that the American government is the one that blew Nord Stream 2. As we are stoking the war between the former Soviet Union, I don't really care what the countries are called, but we're into it for hundreds of billions of dollars. It appears that the Azov Nazis have blown up two dams, three oil refineries, and Nord Stream 2, and nobody says boo about the ecological disasters created from the former Soviet Union. Do you think maybe this is something that should be focused on?
I mean, I don't think it should, because, of course, it's not going to cause bad weather. But, yeah, I think we should be looking at real problems and not totally fake problems. And I'm encouraged, again, that people are waking up. One thing I wanted to mention is that, like on the Joe Rogan podcast, he's got that huge audience. He's an example of a guy who he bought into this scam maybe 5 years ago. And now when it comes up, he's scoffing at it. I'm just seeing all sorts of scoffing going on in all sorts of new places now. So I think the American people are figuring it out, and this whole climate scam thing is crumbling in front of our eyes. It's happening right now.
Well, that's exciting, right? Because the reality is, yeah, it's since Rockefeller understood if he could sell the idea of a finite product, he could control everything. And they started to come up with how to market the fraud. And one of my favorite moronic titles is something called fossil fuels. I have never ever understood how anybody could think this is oil is anything other than in the very least organic, or if you really look into it, a byproduct of the center of the earth and the earth's rotation and things we already barely understand. But one thing's for sure, it's everywhere. It certainly isn't dinosaur bones. Why do you think we're so hesitant to tackle it by the hood ornament and stop calling it fossil fuels?
That's a great question, because even I kind of believe that. I hate to say it a few years ago, but now just on my podcast, I've had quite a few people come in and talk about, you know, of course it's not fossil fuel, because like there is on Saturn, there's a moon called Titan, and we're told that that has all sorts of methane on it. A lot of hydrocarbon fuel is on that dead moon. So we're supposed to think that everything on Earth that is a hydrocarbon came from life, but I am not buying that at all anymore.
Well, when you look at the actual science that human beings understand about the rock we call Earth, you realize it's in its infancy. And we still have no concept or no even guesstimate how many trillions upon trillions of barrels of oil are released through the seabed. We don't even know how deep the ocean is in certain spots. How have they been able to sell this certainty when their politicians, fat and marry dogly women like Al Gore?
I think, again, I think it's a lot of groupthink. People are just, they have other stuff going on in their lives, and they haven't really dug into this stuff. And I think, again, people are digging into this stuff, and they're figuring out that all of these narratives, these alarmist narratives, are a crock. So I think the truth is coming out. I think this whole new world of the having podcasts and having a Twitter opening up, all this type of thing, it's a totally different world than it was 5 years ago, and it's way harder to sell these lies than it was 5 years ago.
But, Tom, one thing that's happened in particular over the last four is the ability and the acceptance, and in some cases the demand, for the American government to censor information. And you realize that we don't have a media per se. We have very few even investigative reporters that enter a topic from the point of neutral. So you have a constant, well-funded propaganda wing that, if just the couple of minutes we've been talking, you still have yet to hear a mainstream media outlet challenge the idea that it is anything other than a product of dinosaur bones. I have Jimmy Carter clips back in the 70s when I was a kid, and people laughing at Jimmy Carter as he said we had 35 years of oil. And yet they're praising him for the greatest statesman that ever lived and refuses to die. So the reality is, why isn't a mainstream outlet really attacking this? Is it just that fear of being called a radical? I mean, after all, you're going to have to break something if you want people to think, because this is an obvious fraud to me. I don't know why so many mainstream, even Fox News, they are still referring it to fossil fuels. That should be something simplistic enough that I think we should start to focus on. Do you think there's any possibility with somebody of standing bringing that up?
I do think so. I mean, if you look at the polling and just the public's perception of the mainstream media, it's just plummeting. The number of people that trust it in the polls is down by a factor of five or something in the last few years. And of course, they have all the layoffs going on. And I think that the climate narrative is crumbling, and the mainstream media being in charge of everything we're thinking, that's crumbling too. So I do think there's a lot of room for the truth to get out there. I'm optimistic that the next 5 years are going to be a lot better than the last five were.
How high up, in your opinion, just your opinion of what you've witnessed and what you know by studying this topic for 17 plus years, how much of this being a part of why the Leviathan, as I call it, some people call it government, why the Leviathan is so terrified of a Trump administration? Because if you realize in his 3 short years, I'm not going to count the last one because I feel it was usurped, but in his 3 short years of breaking the Paris Accord, of being articulate in the fact that it doesn't make any sense, some of the solutions the government was promoting, he really kind of gave back the power to the people. And he poses that threat to the Leviathan. Do you still think that there will be an honest election this November, or we're talking about trillions of dollars in just this one area of the government perfection of a policy fraud?
Yeah, I've looked into this a lot. I thought about it a lot, and I am very fearful that these votes will not be counted correctly in 2024. Yeah, I don't know what we can do about it, but I am not happy about what's going to be happening with the counting of the votes.
Are you? I mean, they came back in a short period of time, not only signed the American people to the Paris Accord, which is really self-destruction on so many of the American companies, but they have also managed to quietly stop all of the progress of American energy companies and all of the real, let's say they believed in alternative. They can't move forward in anything that isn't absolutely controlled by government, such as nuclear or any of the other alternatives. Are you thinking that the scam has been perfected because so many big oil companies, they're not really big oil companies alone anymore, and they've diversified themselves? After all, it may be more beneficial to be in a phony scheme of solar panels or windmills, because they break a lot and you get the margins bigger.
Yeah, again, there's this whole narrative that Exxon and BP and Chevron are funding people like me, and they're fighting back, whatever, against the people pushing the scam. But I'm not seeing any sign of that. So, yeah, it's driving me nuts that they're not fighting back, that maybe there is more money to be made in going along with the scam than fighting it. I don't know at what point we're going to see the Exxons of the world come right out and fight it. But
I'm shocked.
I hope it's soon, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's more margin in it. And in Climate, the movie, did you get Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt? Who's in it? And what are some of the major topics you tackle?
Yeah, but the first two-thirds of it, in 80 minutes, it covers the science. We got all sorts of decorated scientists to talk about why this thing is a scam. And one of them is the 2022 Physics Nobel Prize winner, John Clauser. He calls it a crock. And we have Richard Lindzen calling it a cult. And we have Will Happer calling it a scam and a hoax. So it's fun for me to see these scientists that really know what they're talking about, using strong language to just point out this whole thing is a scam. The whole idea that CO2 is a pollutant and it's bad for us in any way, that whole thing, of course, is a crock.
You know, Tom, we have the benefit here in Chicago of having, back in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and even the early 2000s, we had the founder of the Weather Channel. His name was John Coleman. He wasn't only a meteorologist. He was an actual scientist. And it's funny when you look at that particular individual, how as being the founder, most people don't realize this, of the Weather Channel, eminent domain was used to extort him into selling at a very low price to a quasi-government NGO that backdoor owns it. And he was an outspoken anti-eco-Nazi scientist who spoke often of the money. Did you refer to any of the old John Coleman clips, and does anybody mention him anymore?
We didn't have a clip of him. I think we may have mentioned him at the end in memoriam. I met him in person back in the good old days, and yeah, he was a great guy. I think he's kind of getting airbrushed out of history as a co-founder or the founder of the Weather Channel. Another person that is getting airbrushed out is we have Patrick Moore in the movie, who was a co-founder of Greenpeace, but now Greenpeace went in and airbrushed him out of history. They're trying to convince you he wasn't a co-founder of Greenpeace. But anyway, if you go back into the Wayback Machine on the internet, you can see that, in fact, he was a co-founder. He was with Greenpeace, and then he realized that they were way too radical, and then he came onto the side of the skeptics, where the real science is.
Okay, so tell me your favorite scam. Is it the EVs, the nonsense, a very expensive way to start your house on fire, or is it the idea that people would neuter themselves for the conveniences that we've had experienced over the last couple of generations, so much so that eco-Nazis are demanding we pull gas stoves out of houses? Which one is your favorite scam?
There's so many of them, but probably the biggest one for me is the whole carbon credit scam, the non-delivery of an invisible substance to no one. Nobody really cares if anything's actually happening. It's just all sorts of money changing hands based on nothing. The whole idea that, like, Apple can just pay somebody to buy these credits and then pretend that their data center is being run by wind power or whatever. It's just that is kind of the craziest part of the whole scam. But there's so many crazy parts of it.
Tom, did you ever watch the movie Guys and Dolls with Frank Sinatra and Marlon Brando?
I did not. Nope.
Oh, Tom, you've got to watch it. There's a scene where there's a Chicago gangster in there named Big Jilly. And he says, I want to roll dice, and we're going to roll dice for money. And he pulls out these dice, and the guy says, Jilly, there are no dots on this dice. And he says, that's all right. I remember where they are. He would be a founding member of one of these organizations, wouldn't he?
It sounds like it. Yeah, it does sound like it.
Tom Nelson, I appreciate it. The movie is out now, right?
It's out right now. It's been out for like 2.5 weeks. It's got millions of views already. It's kind of everywhere on YouTube, BitChute, Rumble, Twitter. It's everywhere.
ClimateTheMovie.net is where I suggest you watch it. Tom Nelson, thank you for making time. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll be back with your calls and comments.
Broadcasting from the petri dish of corruption known as the state of Illinois,
in the upper Midwest, the nation, and around the world.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
It's raining men. Hallelujah. It's raining men.
$5 trillion scam on fraudulent science. Trump ended it all. That's why when people say, oh, it's going to be, listen, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I don't know why you would expect something different with all of the history we now have and know ourselves, not to mention what's at stake.
Not just now billions, but there are trillions of dollars at stake.
It's a story of self-interest and big government funding.
People like me, our careers depend on funding of climate research. This is what I've been doing just about my whole career. This is what the other climate researchers are doing with their whole career. They don't want this to end. If CO2-
now, who's going to put a stop to it based on science? These idiots?
If you think you might commit sexual assault, always carry a whistle. When you find yourself about to commit sexual assault, blow the whistle until someone else stops you.
All trillions of dollars. All you got to do is kick back to these 435 congressmen, 100 senators, the dimwit in diapers, and the office tramp. That's it. 537 political whores. There's a lot of wet in the beak of trillions of dollars.
Who isn't having the huge negative impacts that we claimed it was having originally? How are we going to stay in business?
A lot of people's livelihoods depend on it. They're not going to give that up.
This is a story of the corruption of science.
There's no such thing as a climate emergency happening on this planet now. There's no evidence of one.
The climate alarm is nonsense. You know, it's a hoax. I've never liked hoax. I think scam is a better word, but I'm willing to live with hoax.
We're going 1,000 miles an hour. 1,000 miles an hour. This Earth has been here for millions, billions. Nobody really knows. How far down has humanity dug in the Earth? How many trillions of barrels are released from the oceans? Nobody has the answers to this. Yet they're going to tell you that they can stop everything. How many of the forest fires in California, and the reason that insurance companies and all the rest are leaving, they might blame it on climate change. How many of the forest fires were started by Democrat eco-terrorist professors alone, just professors? Because I could name, what, about 40,000 acres that have burned because eco-terrorism by Americans? Are you out of your mind? And all of a sudden we just pretend that it's going to end and nobody questions it? We're still calling it fossil fuel. It isn't. In the very least, it's organic. If you think about it, it may be everywhere because it's a product of that 1,000-mile-an-hour rotation. But nobody wants to talk about it. After all, it's easier to pretend that politicians have the answers, isn't it?
Today, my administration is announcing the first tranche of dislocated worker grants. Fancy phrase, which is dimes. All it is there to make sure
it, that you you could do.
Which is dimes. All it is there to make sure it helps create jobs for workers involved in the cleanup of this incident. Additional jobs.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Which is dimes. All it is there to make sure it.
He shouldn't be in control of the change in your ashtray. 312-642-5600.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Oh, you gonna let it all hang out, fat bottom girls.
That's the Hillary Clinton official campaign song, Squirrel. Let's turn it up a little bit, shall we? Oh, they were all depressed in 16, the fat girls.
I was just a skinny lad. Never knew no good from bad. But I knew life.
Smile even wider when you realize it's Hillary Clinton's song.
Left alone with big fat fatties. She was such a naughty.
Our campaign now has 1.6 million individual donors. And more than
1.6 million individual donors? How many morons are there? Well, not as many as you think.
Our source with Enact Blue witnessed all types of activity inside the conference rooms, including group discussions regarding challenges and ideas internally at Act Blue. There was also ideas on the FEC filing data. There were some discussions about what they called dummy accounts, discussions about more time in the turf, artificial intelligence, interdepartmental collaboration, partnership negotiation guidance, donor-specific homepages, caucus relationships, their training content library utilizing YouTube and TikTok videos, post-election cleanup processes, and standardization processes.
Post-election cleanup processes. They're still calling the protest a so-called insurrection. Rest in 71-year-old ladies. That's to intimidate you from questioning the next theft. There are trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars at stake.
That's time.
You've had 2 years to find out. And today, by the way, that was in reference to Ray Epps. And yesterday you indicted him. Isn't that a wonderful coincidence? On a misdemeanor. Meanwhile, you're sending grandmas to prison. You're putting people away for 20 years for merely filming. Some people weren't even there yet. You got the guy on video who's saying go into the Capitol. He's directing people to the Capitol before the speech ends. He's at the site of the first breach. You've got all the goods on him. 10 videos, and it's an indictment for a misdemeanor? The American public isn't buying it. I yield the balance.
Then who released the video that countered the narrative? Tucker. Tucker, the number one show, fired. and now the mafia and its propagandists like Stephen Colbert, whose sister is not only a major, major contributor, but ran for I don't know how many offices. She's like Bob Fioretti with her own hair.
Oh, there's news about former Fox News anchor and Orville Redden bigot Tucker Carlson. You may remember that Tucker got fired from Fox News for somehow being too racist. So
he got fired because he released the actual videos that showed the culprits of violence and mayhem. I believe they're called the Capitol Police. Even the one that shot the unarmed veteran, 119 pounds of woman without a weapon, point blank in the neck. And they gave that rat murdering scum an award. And then don't forget the cushy pension.
He started a show over on Twitter, but now he's got an even worse idea because yesterday he announced he's launching his own streaming service called Tucker Carlson Network for $9 a month. Now, that seems steep, but there is a free version. For $0 a month, you can never watch Tucker Carlson again.
Like nobody watches you. Nobody. How do these idiots stay in business? Because they're part of a corporation and corporations that never pay the actual taxes. Because they are the propaganda wing for the Fourth Reich. And they have many in force. And that's why when you see them and you pretend, oh, they're finally turning around. No, they're not. Whether it's that idiot Bill Maher, meat face, or the fraud, John Stewart.
If you want to love Trump, love him. Go to the rallies. Buy the sneakers. You want to give him absolute power? You want him to be the leader uber alles? You want him to have the right?
You mean like Joe Biden, who circumvents openly the rules and the restraints on government by the Supreme Court? You mean like that, John? What was his big thing? He said they didn't stand for the guys of September 11th. Boy, I wonder how much you got paid, John.
Of kings, you do you. But stop framing it as patriotism, because the one thing you cannot say is that Donald Trump is following the tradition of the founders. He is advocating for complete and total presidential immunity.
And that is the other claim, immunity. He was the sitting president. He didn't call for an insurrection. There was no insurrection. He was the government. Anything could have happened to Joe Biden. You know, like maybe the count could have been audited. But then again, it would have never been because the fix was in. You have trillions and trillions of dollars at stake. Not to mention government supremacy, which is what's really at stake.
On here. First of all, these are not motions to Judge Juan Merchan, who is the trial court judge here. This is a request to the appeals court directly overseeing him. That's the appellate division of New York and what's called its first department. And there are two requests in there. One is to change the venue of the case. The other is to terminate the gag order that you know Trump is very upset with. And on both of those,
because what he wants to reveal is something that only political aficionados know. The judge's daughter worked for the office tramp, some think is the vice president, Kamala Harris, and is a liaison of the Fourth Reich. They're all fracking Democrats, like that fish-faced judge who pretended borrowing money on your property and paying it back is a crime. This is what's at stake. And by the way, New York appeals court just denied Trump's appeal. Denied! The fix is in, like in Chirac, where the feeble fascist, that wrinkled-ass old whore, some call president, is raising money. I wonder if it's the two sitting Cook County judges who were on the Table of Wisdom LLC with the 14-time felon, Ed Burke. Did they kick in, like all the other government employees? Kick it in, boys, if you want to keep off the wrath of the tax man or the regulatory fascism of the EPA. Robert in Bloomingdale.
Sean, you're absolutely right. You know, you were talking earlier, I have a comment and then a question for you. The first thing is, these people are protesting. They come from these foreign countries like Palestine or Hamas, I should say.
Wait a minute, hold on. I want to look at the Palestine Stock Exchange. I want to see. Wait, did you happen to watch over the weekend Palestine's Got Talent? Did you see the singing and the comedy show coming out of Palestine? What a thriving society. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, you know, if you don't like this country, you're free to leave. You don't have to stay here. I'll be glad to pack your bags and tell you to leave.
Now, why would you leave? They're giving away money, man. Why would they leave? It pays more to be a low-life scumbag.
SNAP benefits on top of that, and we're talking an additional $1,400. In Los Angeles, migrants are given full coverage health insurance and Woo! Soon could also get $1,000 a month through the city's new guaranteed income pilot program, which is immigration status blind. That means you could get it even if you're not here legally. And in Chicago, they so far have spent $300 million since 2023 on migrants. That's on things like food and even laundry. As part of that spending.
No, no, no. They use the migrants like they use the other Democrats as useful idiots. They gave it to their friends in a kickback scheme. That's why they overpay. And in the meantime, does everybody get it, even the low-life gangbanging scum?
U.S. Border Patrol is concerned over Venezuela's most dangerous gang crossing into the United States, with law enforcement arresting members from Texas all the way to New York. Jorge Ventura is with us now. Jorge, how
I'll tell you, Squirrel, you really want to get out of this. This isn't going to be the American government. Might be the measles, or they got a new thing. What? Botulism. That's back. You got to love the third world. 312-642-5600.
Marxists, socialists, and communists are not welcome on the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
Stephen Colbert, how'd your sister do? Whatever happened to her campaign coffer? Did they get to keep that money?
Words, not mine. That is monarchy shit. And it's your right to support it. But just do me a favor for historical accuracy. Next time you want to dress up at the rallies, wear the right f***ing colored coats. That's what you are.
Now, that simpleton, that fraud, doesn't want to pay any taxes, so he'll vote for the crook, Joe Robinette Biden, or he'll do even worse. He'll just be quiet when tens of millions of votes just pop up. Mark, Western Burbs.
Yeah, Sean, I'm listening to John Stewart, and I'm thinking J6 defendants, 4 years in prison without a hearing, solitary confinement. Who's the dictator? Give me a break.
I like how they also, and when I say they, I mean every Democrat DA, every Democrat in charge of the prison system or the judicial system, let out all the scum, and they don't care about the repercussions, Mark.
Murder suspect Dontrell Anderson will remain behind bars after he's deemed a public safety risk by a Cook County judge. This as the family of the 24-year-old pregnant woman he's accused of murdering still has so many unanswered questions. The family of 24-year-old Itzel Camarena leaves court today, one step closer to getting justice.
He took two lives away from me. You know, he's my first granddaughter, and I'm not going to be able.
Beautiful girl. Did you see this story, Squirrel? Sickening. Guess what? Another low-life scumbag with a rap sheet the size of your arm.
See your first steps. You took my first daughter.
26-year-old Dontrell Anderson was arrested Friday and extradited to Chicago from Wisconsin. He's been charged with murder and concealing a homicide. Investigators say Anderson strangled and fatally shot 24-year-old Camarena in the face on the morning of February 18th as she visited him at his family's apartment in the 8200 block of South Vernon Avenue in the city's Chatham neighborhood.
Well, she at least knew him. I think it's even worse when the people get picked up by who they think is Uber, and it's an illegal alien with a car. That's not good.
Another homeowner.
Oh, wait, where is that clip? I'll find it. Peggy, Chicago.
Hi. I just thought you'd like to know that Chicago is sitting on an earthquake fault.
Oh, good. It has
right
hope.
It comes right up through the south side of Chicago, just right up. And I'm thinking, oh, swell, you know, the people that have come here for refuge and thinking this is, like, going to be such a safe place. It's like be crushed between two walls of stone and the fires and everything that will happen when this takes place. And I'm thinking, this is not the place you want to be.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, really Peggy, at least you gave the people of Dalton hope, because it surely isn't going to be Lori Lightfoot.
Former Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot may soon be looking into the corruption allegations against Dalton Mayor Tiffany Henyard. That's
funny. Right there, that's funny.
The proposal that is set to come up in the next Dalton Village Board meeting that will happen Monday night.
I wonder, is she working back for the law firm that she worked for when she became mayor? They doubled her salary. Does she get to keep the double, or did she go back to half? And that fish face, Lori Lightfoot, dressed like Brandon Johnson, she's going to look into corruption?
Dalton trustees and their legislative council hope to hire Lightfoot to investigate the mayor and others. The Dalton mayor has been under intense scrutiny over spending and other actions since she took office.
She'll be fine. The good news is you have an earthquake that might save you from all this. In the meantime, don't get in cars if you think that the guy might not be a citizen.
A woman says she was scared for her life during a 90-minute ride from hell. Police say she was sexually assaulted by this man, Jose Quintanilla, who they say pretended to be a rideshare driver in Old Town Scottsdale.
That's every girl's worst nightmare.
This case terrifies Malia May. She was waiting for an Uber with her friends Friday, close to the same spot the victim was picked up, around 1:40 a.m. February 25th. Court records say the victim called for a ride outside Cake Nightclub. Police say Quintanilla approached her and said he was her driver. The victim admits she was drunk and followed him to his black SUV.
Guy got here 2 months ago. How you doing with the SUV? Don't worry about it. Don't ask any questions. You know what that town needs? To vote on a ceasefire in Gaza. Rich, you need a part.
Hey, Sean, how you doing? How was the weekend?
Oh, fantastic. Beautiful.
Good. John, what I wanted to say is this no mind through his AI, John Kirby, that's all they keep calling for is a ceasefire in Gaza. And the reason why they're doing that, because he doesn't want to lose the votes in Minnesota and Michigan.
It's a tangled web, Rich. I don't think it's just that simple. Thank you for the call. I was up against the clock. Don't forget the money they make. Cartels, the terrorists, and CIA or something. We'll be back after this.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so...
When you dive into the economic numbers of this country, you realize everything you've heard about the actual economy from the media is an absolute lie. When you look at the real numbers that the federal, state, and local governments are spending, it's $10.4 trillion. How could that possibly be? Well, it's complete manipulation and the backdoor nationalization of our lives. Simple. My next guest spends his career exposing the actual data versus the propaganda. He is E.J. Antoni of the Heritage Foundation. E.J., thanks for joining me, kid. How are you?
Hey, Sean, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You know, when I go through the numbers, the labor market is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal graft, a phenomenal fraud. The numbers are outrageous. The amount of people, Americans on welfare, at record levels. Not in the labor force, 100.4 million people. What the hell is going on here?
Well, Sean, a lot of this is just basically still fallout from COVID. You may say, well, how on earth could that be possible? COVID is years over. That's true, but the problem is the government policies that created a lot of these problems are still in place. And so when you grossly expand the welfare state, not only in terms of the amount of benefits somebody can receive, but also who is eligible, you're going to have those effects linger on for a very, very long time. You know, if you took all of the people who left the labor force during COVID and in the couple of years following, and you put them back into your unemployment rate calculation, you don't have an unemployment rate of 3.8%. It's somewhere between 6.5 and 7.7%, depending on what methodology you want to use. Now, that's not catastrophic, right? It's not Great Depression levels, but it just goes to show you how many people aren't working today.
Well, when you look at the actual numbers of unemployment, and you look at what they really are, and you factor in the part-time workers versus the full-time workers, we're actually far worse than we were in 2000, and they called that a recession. I mean, it's a staggering way in which the propaganda has been successful to the American people. And I'm wondering, why is that? Is it just the effect of COVID and people getting used to sitting at home and people getting used to this idea that you didn't have to earn something, or have they slow cooked welfare into the system? And when you look at the just the cost of health care, in 2000, it was $5,000. Now it's $14,800. So they've managed to get people on welfare through subsidies that never would have been on it. And now the next best thing is to just ease into it, right?
Well, Sean, I don't know if those healthcare numbers are correct. After all, I was promised that Obamacare would reduce costs. So
yeah.
I find it hard to believe that healthcare costs have gone up. In fact, actually, if you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, their measure for health insurance, it
yeah.
shows that health insurance costs have decreased by about 30% over the last year. So you want to talk about cooking the books.
Wow.
There it is. I don't know anybody whose health insurance costs have gone down except for those who have just lost their health insurance. So now they don't pay any premiums at all. But
it's like,
you know, Sean, if we,
it's like the crime numbers in New York and Chicago, right? They claim it's down this year. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Meanwhile, New York crime is the highest it's been in 20 years. But you know, real quick, going back to the job numbers, because I think this also is an instance of where maybe someone isn't actively manipulating the numbers, but the statistics just aren't what they seem. You know, we continue gaining only part-time jobs. Literally all of the jobs that we're gaining right now are all part-time. We're losing full-time jobs because every time you hear about another round of layoffs in the news, somebody loses his job and then he has to go out and get work, and he typically can only find part-time work, except he's got to work three jobs to make up for the one job that he lost, plus the additional cost of living. And so every time he goes out and gets another job, it's increasing the number of payrolls we hear about every month.
Well, it was also staggering to see the amount of natural born job recipients versus aliens. And really, if you look at these numbers, these are job numbers in which non-natural born people are getting the job. So you have the illegal aliens that are being hired by the NGOs, in which $20 billion of funding goes in by the American taxpayers. I mean, it's just the more you look into it and you look into the private company layoffs and I mean, it's not just stagflation. It's a recession that's going unnamed, isn't it? The no-name recession.
Absolutely. That's a really, really good point. And, you know, look, you can avoid a technical recession for many, many years if both the government and consumers go into enough debt, because you will continue to boost those spending numbers, again, both on the government and the consumer side. And so if you look at that Keynesian formula for GDP, sure, we're not in a recession, except what are people's standard of living today compared to a year ago, compared to 4 years ago? Are you really going to tell me things are better when there's literally a million fewer Americans working today than there was before the pandemic? The only people who have gotten jobs today compared to before the pandemic are foreign born. And the Department of Labor and the Biden administration admits that that category of foreign born workers includes illegal aliens. And when you have a flood of illegals coming across the border, twice as many as are coming here legally, are you really going to tell me that that foreign-born worker category does not include a surge of illegals? I don't think so.
Well, and then when you see the costs, you know, the way in which they compartmentalize the data, they negate the actual costs of just educating the kids in school. And I saw a staggering interview where they were pretending in Nebraska, in northeast Nebraska, this particular county needed illegal aliens. And they save it till the end of the story because the alien comes on and says, well, the American worker is just lazy. They don't want to produce. And they put him to work and they give him work permits in this meat producing, chicken producing factory. And then it shows the cost to educate their kids. And it runs at about $9 million a year. Now, they're not going to pay the taxes to offset the cost of just the school for their kids. So we really don't know the quicksand of costs that this is actually totaling to the American people. I mean, in Chicago alone, it's, you know, $1 billion when you calculate the health care and the nonsense. I mean, this is the death knell in the financial bankruptcy of our nation. And that's the only explanation for the insane debt that nobody wants to talk about.
Right. And Sean, I think that's a big reason why we continue to see the Treasury borrowing at rates far above what they estimated, far above what the Office of Management and Budget estimated, far above what the Congressional Budget Office estimated. Why? Because there are all these additional expenses that go along with illegal immigration. On top of that, you know, and this goes back to, I think, what we said earlier about avoiding a technical recession. You know, the government continues to go into debt, not only so it can hire employees directly, but also indirectly. It is pumping tons of subsidies into the education sector, into the healthcare sector, and other places so that those sectors can hire employees as well. So they are effectively, you could say, an indirect government worker. But that is all paid for by taxpayer dollars. So, Sean, if you look at the number of people who are effectively working through government pay, it's a government paid job directly or indirectly, and you compare that to private sector workers, we're adding a ratio of almost 1-to-1 today. In other words, every private sector job that gets created is having to pay for not only itself, but one that's being paid by the government too.
EJ, the part that aggravates me and somebody like me is that none of this had to happen, even with the Biden so-called presidency. None of this had to happen because for the last 2 years, the so-called Republicans control the House, and yet they don't ever negotiate any of it. And they just cram through another 1,012-page bill, and the idiot who is the speaker is incommunicato. He can't find this son of a gun. He's like Pablo Escobar. And if there's talk of removing him, all of a sudden you're as dumb as a box of rocks and you don't get it. When the reality is, I truly believe they need to keep this fraud going. They cannot afford another Trump presidency because those tax cuts that the earner, the small business received under Trump, they need to expire. That's the only way they can keep this fraud moving, isn't it?
I think that is very much at the front of all of their minds. And, you know, that was evident in a bill that the House recently rammed through, again, without even really reading. It didn't get much attention because no one in the Senate really cares about it. But essentially what it did was it grossly expanded the welfare state in exchange for a temporary continuation of one of the measures of the Trump tax cut. And when asked, I say asked because I literally was the one who asked the congressman that wrote the bill, why didn't you simply just say, look, we're going to continue all aspects of the Trump tax cut indefinitely? Why didn't you do that? He said, well, we just don't think we have the money to pay for it. So they absolutely think that we need to raise taxes in order to balance the budget, when in reality, we need to cut government spending. You know, if we literally could just roll back the clock to 2019, I mean, have the government spend the same right now as they did in 2019, we'd balance the budget. Think of that.
It's interesting verbiage. Pay for it. Once again, they're admitting the scam. There is no paying for it. There is either you're borrowing to pay the interest, known as the VIG in my neighborhood, or there is, in fact, receivables to offset a fraction of the spending. The spending is runaway. When you calculate all of it, the federal, state, and local, you're at $10.4 trillion. We're 6 months into the fiscal year. 6 months! You're talking, you're at $21 trillion a year between federal, state, and local governments. There isn't enough money in the economy to even cover it, is there?
No, there's not. Sean, if you just look at just mandatory government spending, stuff that has already been promised, so mandatory doesn't include, you know, any discretionary, including things like defense, by the way, some things that you might think are mandatory, but they're not included there. Just mandatory spending and interest on the debt, which is really mandatory as well, since we've already promised to pay it. Those two things alone are more than all of the revenue the federal government takes in. And the exact same problem occurs at the state once you look at the state budget. I don't mean each state individually. Some states like Texas might have a balanced budget, but because there are terrible states like Illinois, California, and New York in there as well, the average among the states has the exact same problem that the federal government does, where just the spending that has already been promised to go out the door exceeds revenue. That's before you spend another dime.
So let me ask it this way, and I'm not trying to be defeatist. What would have been the difference had the Republicans not won the House than what they won and today? What would be the difference in your opinion?
Sean, I'm not really sure, to be perfectly honest with you, because you know, when there was a slim majority for the Democrats, what we saw was a lot of Democrat infighting, very similar to what we see now with the Republicans and their slim majority. And so you essentially had a lot of Democrats who because of the infighting, stalled things, and it was actually very difficult for them to get their entire agenda through. And even when they got things through, it oftentimes was not as much as the far left of the party really wanted. And so, unfortunately, the Republicans have faced a similar problem, except they don't have a speaker like Speaker Pelosi, who at the end of the day was really able to, you know, to herd the cats, if you will, and to get things across the finish line. So with the Republicans, under people like McCarthy, like Johnson, you have all of the infighting, but none of the ability to actually get things done.
I have a question for you. I believe that the bubble that AI has created, the propaganda that AI is going to do all of these things, I don't think it's going to. I think it's going to be a bust. I think it's already cooked in the mix before NVIDIA, before the insider trading, before the contracts. I think ultimately it's not going to be nearly as dominating of the workforce or society any more than it had been a year ago. What do you think? You think I'm crazy?
No, not at all. I think this is very much a repeat of the dot-com bubble. It is another run-up in technology that is completely unproven. And, you know, is it in the long run going to have a huge impact? I have no doubt. Of course, these things always get better with age, just like the internet did. But the valuations of these companies today just don't make sense because the future earnings of these companies are nowhere near what would be needed to justify these stock prices. Again, it's remarkably similar to the dot-com bubble.
I mean, Xerox lays off 15% of its workforce. eBay lays off 9% of its workforce. But when you look at Silicon Valley companies like CodeSea, Twig, Ysense, and Everybody, they laid off 100% of their workforce, but yet they're not bankrupt and they're not running on AI. So how in the world are we pretending that these companies, when you look at the top 50, has laid off more than 9% on average? Do we know what exactly is going on with so-called Silicon Valley and their illusion of a workforce? And then you realize what's happening to Elon Musk and the way in which government is now attacking his individual companies, whether it's Tesla or X, formerly known as Twitter. Do we know what's going on with Asshat, or as it's more formally known, Facebook? Because Meta was a giant failure, yet its stock continues to rally. Is there magic revenue at Facebook?
Well, one of the things with Facebook is the fact that it has a lot of other companies that it owns, things like Instagram, for example, you know, and that does continue to do very well in terms of ad revenue. But, you know, that might very well be another one of these bubbles that pops, because a lot of these companies like TikTok, you know, like Instagram, they've never really been able to justify to advertisers the prices that they pay. In other words, they've never really been able to prove to these companies that they are delivering the amount of eyes on ads that they say they are. But, you know, that again, that's a bit of a different story. You know, Elon Musk is an enemy of the Biden administration because he is committed to free speech. And we're seeing that in essentially dictatorial regimes abroad. So that tells you, I think, what the Biden administration is becoming more and more like. he is more and more like these dictators in South America who are trying to curtail free speech, because heaven forbid you say anything against the administration's narrative. One last thing, though, Sean, with a lot of these companies laying off their workforces, I've noticed that they are disproportionately laying off people who are still in the office. And I think one of the key reasons for that is because commercial real estate is hurting so much right now that landlords continue to hike rents more and more and more because they're having to make up for all of the empty office space that they have. And they're still trying to pay on those mortgages, even though they have no revenue coming in. And so more and more companies are saying, the heck with the office. It's just not worth it anymore. We can't afford it, which speaks volumes, I think, about what direction commercial real estate is heading in.
Well, you know, and there's so much to go into the soup that is Bidenomics and the destruction of the American prosperity. But when you see the widening cavern between people who are doing good and people who are either on the precipice of welfare or in welfare, and it's never been greater, the gap between the wealthy and the poor. When I don't get nervous when I see like banksters come on and say, oh, this is bad or this is good, because they're propagandists. But when you see guys like Ray Dalio, who, if I even don't agree with him 100%, I respect the fact that this guy truly is an economic interpreter and expert and historian. And he says he hasn't seen anything like this since the Great Depression. And he's constantly quoting bad years from the 30s to the 40s. But then he even said that the 1900s, people don't realize the depression that we were in at the turn of the century. And he's saying he's never seen the kind of data. Can we avoid the data, the actual data and the predictions by a Ray Dalio now? I mean, it's not Peter Schiff. It's not somebody who's always selling calamity. How long can we keep off the inevitable?
Sean, that's a really good point you made. We're not dealing with the boy who cried wolf here, right? And, you know, in terms of how long can we put it off, you can put it off for a very, very long time. But the problem is, the further and further you put it off, the worse it is when it finally arrives. And when it does arrive, you have two different ways of dealing with it. You can print your way out of the problem, which, again, is kind of like kicking the can further down the road. It doesn't really solve anything. But you just spread out the losses among all the people by devaluing their currency, or you actually allow the chips to fall where they may. You go through the painful liquidation process. But what happens after that, and maybe this is the thing that should give us a little bit of hope, is that at the end of that liquidation process, you typically get prosperity. People forget the 1920s, the Roaring Twenties, one of our best decades of growth, began with a depression, the 1920 to 21 yeah. depression. It was horrific, except the administration allowed the liquidation process to proceed, and you had entrepreneurs pick up the wrecks, and from the ashes arose an incredible American economy.
Yeah. Student debt, before I let you go, because I can't get over the fact that the dimwit in diapers, as I call him, some call him president, admits that the Supreme Court refused to allow him to give very specific American citizens welfare or charity and get rid of their debt. It's never been about those kids. I've understood that from the beginning. But why are so few people talking that the student debt problem is barely under $1.8 trillion? And when Barack Obama usurped it and destroyed the private market, it was $700 billion. He's added $1 trillion. The government has a $1 trillion problem. This has nothing to do with the kids. They need to get it off their balance sheets because they can't pay it back themselves, right?
Yeah, Sean, it's amazing what happens when the government socializes something, right? It gets so much better. Well, I think a lot of the arguments around this issue are just completely emotionally charged. And a lot of it is because people don't understand the numbers. The fact of the matter is less than 10% of student loan borrowers have debts that they can't actually work out from under. Most of the debt is held by people with, like myself, with graduate degrees, for example. Okay, I took out student loan debt in graduate school, but it was so I could get a higher paying job so that I could have more income so I could pay back that money. And I did.
Yeah, but
so
you did it. Yeah.
At the end
right.
of the day. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You did it. This isn't about you. This is about buying votes. And, you know, if you can do this, if the government can do it, even though the Supreme Court said it can't, Well, why don't we just do it with the national debt then? I mean, if you're going to give it to college grads who are now too stupid to dry off my car, why not just get rid of $30 trillion? Ah, we don't owe it anymore.
Well, why stop at student loan debt? What about credit card debt and auto loans and mortgages, right? You get a car and you get a car and you get a car.
Yeah, but I really want a good car. I don't want one of them Priuses. In the meantime, when I want good advice or a good dissertation or good data, I go to E.J. Antonia, the Heritage Foundation. You keep it up. Are we going to do the think tank? I bought a sport coat with elbow pads, for God's sake. I want to use it.
Right? Let's put it on the books.
All right. Otherwise, I'm going to have to send it to Kamala Harris. Ba-dum-bum. Thank you, E.J. Antonia. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back with your calls after this.
He's Sean Thompson.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
And this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's...
Oh, the good old day, Squirrel. Did you know back then, even the actors were heterosexual? It's true, Squirrel. It's the big difference in cultures. You know, nowadays you got all these side saddles. But back in the day, Squirrel... Be amazed how many actual actors were heroes in World War II.
It's our top 10 list of Hollywood badasses. Number 10 is Sorrel Book, Boss Hogg from the Dukes of Hazzard. He spoke 12 languages and served during the Korean War.
Boss Hogg, the guy who's built like a lot of Chicago Democrat women. Boss Hogg, 12 languages and served during World War II.
At 9 is Russell Johnson, the professor from Gilligan's Island. He flew 44 missions and received a Purple Heart. Number 8 is Rod Serling, who served as a paratrooper and received a Purple Heart during the Battle of Manila. At 7 is Neville Brand, who fought with distinction in Europe and received a host of medals. 6 is Rockford Files star James Garner, who fought in both World War II and Korea. Number 5 is Charles Durning, who survived the first hours of D-Day, as well as the Malmedy Massacre. At 4 is Eddie Albert of Green Acre fame. He rescued over 70 Marines during the Battle of Tarawa. Number 3 is Lee Marvin, with a staggering 21 amphibious assaults during World War II. At number 2 is Charles Bronson, who flew 25 combat missions as a B-29 gunner. And at number 1 is Jimmy Stewart, who flew 25 combat missions over Europe during World War II. Click the link below for our longer
video.
How
many knew that? And you know what the slogan was in college? Better dead than red. Now look at it. Communists, teachers. You got a bunch of side saddles pretending to be action heroes. Spending a weekend at Sean Puffy Combs' house. Yeah. Cream Puff Jim. You remember the good old days back then when your short in the pants Democrat mafia was running the city of Chicago and heterosexuality was the norm?
I know. Thank goodness for the pension. That's all I got to say, Sean. What burned up in Melrose? What something burned up in Melrose? What was it there?
Had to be a business so good. What was it?
You're right. No, it was right before you came out. Yeah. I was going to mention Thomas Paine. We're going to build a statue to him, but it's not going to be in Stevens.
You realize he died broke. 6 people showed up at his wake.
But he was a kid. Well, they couldn't locate where he was buried. But Thomas Paine was a candle maker who took the approach he would debate Edmund Burke, who said Edmund Burke, his claim was that the monarchs were put on the throne by the Almighty God, and the subjects should be thankful that they've got a good monarch, that God gave them, God put them on the throne. And Thomas Paine's argument was, you're nuts.
First of all, he was a Quaker. A Quaker was a reverend who became an atheist, a Harvard grad, who ended up died broke. He inspired some of the writings for the founding fathers, and when he died, 6 people showed up. There's got to be something there. Something tells me he might have hit on George Washington's either girlfriend or boyfriend. I'm not quite sure about George.
He argued with Jefferson over slaves. He didn't believe in slavery, but he also fermented the French Revolution.
Yeah.
Probably was blamed for that. He was probably blamed for that. Yeah. I imagine the Anglicans in America probably thought, well, because they were always afraid that the British were going to come back and attack us.
Who wore pajamas that were actually his underwear, and then the back had a door. I don't like any of it. Thank you very much, though, for playing history with Cream Puff Jim. George in Naperville.
Sean, I love when you put those heroic men in front of us. It's inspiring. But I was wondering, were any of their student loans forgiven?
None of their student loans were forgiven. And how many people realize that Jimmy Stewart, if you ever watch A Wonderful Life, you know, that was his movie when he got back. He was only back for a few months. And they say that scene where he broke down was actually him breaking down, which would explain why so many people fell in love with him. Anthony in St. Charles.
Hey there, Sean. I heard you're better read than dead, little thing. I got something even better.
Oh, boy.
Here's what I think. Not better read than dead. Not better dead than red. Just dead red. That's all what right. I believe.
All right. I like it. You want to hear it? There was another famous atheist. There was another famous atheist, Squirrel. He's an interesting guy. Intellectual. But a lot of people irritated a lot of people. But I'll tell you what. When he was right, he was right.
As a Sufi Muslim, I'm very ruffled by the title of your book. Did you have to settle for the literal negation of Allahu Akbar?
Yes. I thought so.
Thank you for that question. Thank you.
At the moment, it's very clear to me the most toxic form that religion takes is the Islamic form. The horrible idea of wanting to end up with Sharia, the state of religious law, and that the best means of getting there is jihad, holy war, and that Muslims have a special right to feel aggrieved enough to demand this, I think is absolute obscene wickedness, and I think their religion is nonsense. God speaks to some illiterate merchant warlord in Arabia, and it contains the answers to all humans. Don't waste my time.
But you're saying this thing about it.
Also, that God speaks, the Archangel Gabriel speaks only Arabic. All religions claim to be revealed truth. But Islam rather dangerously says, ours is the last and final one. There can't be any more after this. This is God's last word. Now, that's straight away a temptation to violence and intolerance. And if you note, it's a temptation they seem quite willing to fall for. Every Allahu Akbar reminds people that we're in a very serious struggle with a very depraved religion.
But it does explain what we saw in the formerly great state of Michigan.
El Monte America!
El Monte America!
El Monte America!
El Monte
America!
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth." It's not.
I wonder if this rat bastard who likes to make women walk around like beekeepers, does his student loan get forgiven too? I mean, who exactly are we giving this money to?
Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth.
Sounds like he's calling for an insurrection. I wonder if the FBI is going to be involved. But I'll tell you what, I never believed the stories, these lying rats. Of what they say happened, I didn't.
They say that their drone video, and this has not been verified, this video, that they say shows Hamas operatives, and they thought one fired from an aid truck.
Fired from an aid truck, which would explain why the IDF blew up the aid truck. But then again, weren't they firing from hospitals? I believe they were. And what about the hostages? They want the killing of Hamas scum to stop, but they don't want to give up the hostages, huh? And what about the peace talks? You really think they want peace? Me either.
No progress has been made at the latest round of Gaza truce talks in Egypt, a Hamas official told Reuters on Monday, shortly after Egyptian sources said headway had been made on the agenda.
So the governments of Egypt and America and the rest of the world are telling you that we're making progress, but Hamas, who still hasn't discovered toilet paper or a business outside of drug dealing, they say there are no talks. Okay, well, which one is it?
The official who asked not to be named said, quote, "There is no change in the position of the occupation, and therefore there is nothing new in the Cairo talks."
Well, then we're going to have to kill all of you. Simple. In the meantime, there's many ways. We could just leave planes on the runway and see if they want to try and take flight.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Oh! The livestock! Yelling Aloha snack bar the whole way down. They didn't want peace either. But then again, they just took advantage of what Joe Biden left behind. I mean, aside from the American lives and blood and money, just the weapons he left behind.
President Biden, he's often called the consoler in chief. He does talk to families who have lost loved ones because of his own experiences. Have you experienced that from him as you've been coping with the death of Nicole?
No.
Have you spoken to him?
No, he has not reached out to our family. We've actually reached out to the White House and have never heard back. We asked to meet with them to kind of understand where their thinking was in calling this a success, and we've not received a response. It's been months.
What a shame.
No, that's not been our experience at all.
Sorry to hear that.
The only reason he even sits in the office he stole is because of the propaganda wing pretending to be the media. It's the Leviathan, and it's protecting itself. Not to mention, he already soiled his pants in Chicago. 312-642-5600.
He believes in freedom, capitalism, and individual liberty. And because of that,
he's become an enemy of the state.
He's Sean Thompson, and this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
Hanging out of a helicopter. Another lie, another war. Thousands of Americans dead. Decent music, though.
Over $1,300,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Good, John. How are you?
Love your show. Love your show. You started talking about the media covering up. I have to tell you, I admit it. I listen to the Heart of Darkness every once in a while. I listen to an NPR station out of Santa Monica.
Really? Because bad.
I only listen to their music shows that are replayed during the week. But about every hour, half hour or so, you get a 10-second plug for All Things Considered. And here's the latest. What? Former President Trump made the news by talking about a bloodbath. But what you missed is that he said he was going to pardon all the people from January 6th. Isn't this a terrible thing? Hear it on All Things Considered today at noon.
John, why do you think George Soros, the lowlife scum, the leader of the Fourth Reich, or at least the upper echelon, the inner circle of the Fourth Reich, he spent $200 million on talk radio stations that were failing, known as Not Me?
Yeah, I think he's spending his money wisely.
Because he understood the principles of the Third Reich. Goebbels needed propaganda. And when you look at where we're at, Joe Biden, I don't care if you don't agree with him, whatever the case is, the man is sick. What are you, nuts? We've got an 80-year-old dementia patient. We've got the worst economy, the highest amount of Americans on welfare, the highest amount that are homeless, the highest amount that are subsidized in every form and fashion. And people still think this idiot is viable? The only guy that can't get a job in the entire country is somehow the president? That couldn't happen without propaganda, John. Thank you for recognizing it and rejecting it. It's okay to listen every once in a while. Like, I like to expose all of the scams that we hear so that you understand this couldn't happen without a lot of money being laundered.
But right now, I think it's fair to say Ukraine has the upper hand. Ukraine is winning its war thanks to...
Just give me the death numbers, chubby. She's past chubby, you're right. Rash Queen, Duchess of Chaffington. We'll be back in 21 hours to expose them all.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.